Today's shiur will be beginning from Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph toward the top of the page, Maseches Bava Basra. Before beginning the shiur, we recommend printing out the daf, and even better than that, to order your own personal volume of Maseches Bava Basra from the Shas Ozer edition. We left off last time in the middle of a heated give and take. The subject we were dealing with was how one deals with Safek Bikurim. This involved a person who purchased trees, and the question arose whether he gets the land along with the tree or trees that he purchased, thereby affecting the halacha of Havoas Bikurim and the ability to read a parsha that says that I'm bringing these fruits from the land that you gave to me. If there's a matter of doubt whether the bringer of the fruits of the Bikurim received land, then it would be difficult for him to read a passage that says that these are from the land you gave me. Maybe he didn't get land. The Gemara dealt with different possibilities how we can get around this particular problem, where one is expected to bring it and yet not read the parsha. The last point we saw at the end of Pei Aleph Amud Beis was a suggestion that the harvesting and the bringing of the fruits be done by two people, thereby, two people meaning the beginning of the process, the harvesting being done by one and the actual bringing of the fruits being done by another, thereby alleviating the need to read the parsha. And that is as a result of Gzeiras HaKosuv, which was Velokachta Vehevesa. After all said and done, the question arises, what's so problematic with reading anyway? They're psukim. Couldn't one just read the psukim, even if it's a matter of doubt? And that's the Gemara's Kasha, at the second line from the top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph. As far as people who are tuning in for the first time, one notices geometric forms in the text. In this case, they're triangles. And the first triangle that you notice, the beginning of the second line from the top, has its point pointing upwards. These were explained on the Mivneh note, on the structural note that was on the previous Omid, on Pei Aleph Omid Beis, and we indicated that these were the triangle pointing up was part of a series of questions in the give and take of the Gemara. Hence, we ask a question. Omale Rav Acho Brei de Rav Avio le Rav Ashi, Michti. Let's look into this. Psuki Ninu. The issue that we have been dealing with is the reading of the Bikurim Parsha. Are they not verses? Likri, read them. Read them anyway. Even if the bringer of the Bikurim didn't receive land, let him read them as Psukim from the Torah. Omale. So Rav Ashi answers, and we have a little one indicating that there will be an additional answer. So Rav Ashi says, Mishum demechsi keshikra. Reading these psukim would appear as a lie. The Rashbam, Mishum demechsi keshikra, the Rashbam on the third line from the top, Sharei bishvil havoas bikurim kokori. The fellow reading these particular psukim right now is reading it because he's bringing the fruits. V'shemolav b'karka shelo godlu v'komashaker. Maybe they grew in land that's not his. And by saying, I'm bringing these fruits from my land, he's in effect lying. Uksiv dover shkorem lo yikon lenegin einai. And there's the Pasuk in Tehillim says that one who speaks falsehoods will not be zeche to be in the divine presence. Aval kishikori b'Torah, one who's simply reading Torah, namely he's reading the psukim at home with no connection to the Bikurim process. One goes to shul on the week that they're reading the Parsha of Bikurim. That's no problem. That's lo mechsi kishukah. That doesn't appear to be a lie. He's not appearing as one who's bringing fruits at that particular point. But when one is actually involved in bringing the fruits and saying that these fruits come from my land, when he didn't receive land, that would appear as a lie. A second reason not to read the Parsha, Rav Mesharshia b'Rei de Rav Chiya Omar, Dilma osi la'afkuinhu mitruma hu meiser. By reading the Parsha, one would be showing that these are Bikurim fruits. One who sees this fellow bringing fruits from a singular tree that he owns, and there's a matter of doubt whether he got land. That doubt says maybe they're not really Bikurim. And yet this fellow's reading the Parsha, onlookers would say, oh, these are Bikurim fruits. And as such, they don't require tithing. So onlookers would come to an incorrect conclusion, because maybe they do require tithing. So therefore, it's better for him to bring them and not read the Parsha, thereby not creating an image that these are Bikurim, because of this fear of being, releasing them from the Truma and Meiser tithe obligation. The Gemara continues with a quote from the Mishnah on Pei Aleph Omen Aleph, Higdilu, Lo Yishafei. And the Chule indicates what the Mishnah continues to say. In this case, we've written it in for convenience so that you don't have to flip back. We've written in Va'ole min ageza shelo Umin hasharoshim shel bal hakarka. The Gemara asks, Hechi domi min hageza vehechi domi min hasharoshim. Practically speaking, what does it mean, growths from the trunk and growths from the roots? How does one define trunk versus roots? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol sheroya penei chamo zehu min hageza. One might glance at the illustration in the book of illustrations, the Pirush Chai, a book of illustrations that we have been using as we've been learning Maseches Bava Basra from the beginning, a book of illustrations illustrated by Rav Chaim Porush. So in illustration 639 bays, one sees these illustrated. That which literally is sees the sun, in other words, above ground, those growths coming from above ground on the tree, that's considered from the geza, from the trunk. However, those growths coming from the root system, or a section of the trunk that's below ground, that's called min hashoroshim, from the roots. The Gemara asks, if the rule is stated as this, namely, that which is roa penei chama, one can imagine growths jutting out, branches, new branches, jutting out from the base of the trunk, but at a point above ground, very close to the ground. We're dealing with a person that bought a singular tree. And we're saying, up till this point, if he bought a singular tree, things that grow out from the trunk, if they're above ground, even though they're very close to the ground, as far as we're concerned, they stay on the tree, and they belong to the owner of the tree. Is there not a possibility, though, that in the course of time, with winds blowing, there can be a shift in soil? If there's a shift in ground soil, and it accumulates around the base of the tree, it wouldn't take too much soil accumulation around the base of the tree to eventually cover the branch growing from the lower part of the tree, as is illustrated in 639 Dalid. The term for soil that's cast about and through the wind is called sirton. This accumulation of soil could create an image that there are actually three trees here. We know that there was only one tree purchased by this fellow. But with the accumulation of soil, it could give the impression that there are three trees. If there are three trees, and this fellow, in effect, gets land along with it. In other words, the whole picture, the whole legal picture, changes. So we have a rule in the Mishnah, the way we stated it, with a built-in danger factor. The Gemara asks this very question. V'lechush dilmo masko aro sirtom. Can we not suspect or raise as a possibility that in the course of time the ground level, the soil level, will rise around the tree? The omale tloso zavinas li v'isli aro. The fellow who bought the tree can claim, you sold me three trees, and as a result, I have land. Since this suspicion is of concern, the Chachomim should have made a takona that which grows from the trunk should be cut off by the Baal HaIlon. Not like we said, simply belongs to the Baal HaIlon, he can leave it there. Elo Omarav Nachman, Yakutz, that which grows from the Geza, true, it belongs to the Baal HaIlon, but he has to cut it off. V'chein Omar of Yochanan, Yakutz. One notices a slash mark in the text. This divides the Gemara into different thoughts, a new sugya, a new thought pattern. In other words, the Rav Nachman that we're now about to see is going to begin a new discussion. Omar Rav Nachman, Nikitinon, we have a tradition. Dekel ein loy geza. A palm tree doesn't have geza, literally doesn't have a trunk. That statement in and of itself needs explanation. To explain Rav Nachman, we are going to encounter Rav Zvid and Rav Popa. These names are featured in Diamonds. The structural or geometric form that appears in the marking system that we're using indicates a need to connect the points that are featured, sometimes forming a series or related ideas. In this case, we have two hesberim, and this is indicated on the note on the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh heading. That means we have a topic and structural note, and we've written in on the side, Beis hesberim, two explanations, Laha, the Omar of Nachman, regarding Rav Nachman's comment, Nekatinon dekel ein lo geza, that we have this tradition that the palm ein lo geza. Continuing in the Gemara, Savar Rav Zvid lemeimar. The expression Savar generally indicates something that's a first thought, but not necessarily something that holds up till the end of the discussion. So Rav Zvid thinks to say, Rav Savar Rav Zvid lemeimar, Ein loy geza lebal dekel. That which comes from the trunk of a palm tree does not belong to the owner of the tree. Why is that? That would be a significant difference from that which was taught in the Mishnah. So he explains, Dekevon, the lemichpar ulesharesh koi, since the palm, as opposed to other trees, it's a type of tree that when it dries out, there's no way of preserving it. It's when it dries out, when it starts to dry out, that's its end. It's there to be michpar, dug up, and up and lesharesh, uprooted. This is as opposed to other trees that when they start to dry out, one can prune them and thereby extending their life. The palm being unique in this sense, that since it's lemichbar ulisharish koi, asuche mosach daite, the owner doesn't concern himself. His mindset is detached from these growths. The Gemara will ask on this in a moment, but before we do that, let us take a look at the Rashbam under the Gemara. Asuche mosach daite, baal hadekel, the mind of the owner of the tree is mesiach dato, detaches his mind, his thoughts, min he'osib lotzeis min hageza, from that which ultimately grows from the trunk. Why does he not think about that? Why does he not concern himself with future growth from the trunk? The sovor hu, he figures, shemo ivash adekel mehera, the palm that I bought might dry out quickly, velo yotzi geza, and there won't be growths from the trunk. The lo domi lishari lonos, the palm is different from other trees, sheim yovshu beroishan, when they start to dry out on top, kaitzitzan lemato, he prunes them below, the choizrin ugdelim, shere gizon machlif, the nature of other trees is they regenerate, kedesan yuliel, as we saw earlier. Avol dekel me'achar she'ivash ein loy takona, the dekel tree is different in that when it starts to dry out, it has no solution. Kedesan yuliel b'dekolim barazim choyfer misharish, this was taught earlier. Now, as a result of this characteristic, Hilkoch miyayesh min hayotze min hageza v'loi niskavein liknoisai. Therefore, he doesn't consider its future growth possibilities. The Gemara asks, let's take a look at other cases where we see this idea of michbar l'sharesh, and we'll notice that even so, there is geza. Maskif lo Rav Popo, v'ho koine shnei ilonois, the case of one who purchases two trees. What do we know about one who purchases two trees? We know that he does not get the land along with those trees. We know, therefore, that when those trees die, the owner of the land can tell the guy who bought the trees, get rid of your dried out trees. Dila michbar ula mishrash kaimi, they too are destined to be uprooted and removed, the katani, and all the same, it says the yesh lo geza, that they do benefit from geza, namely the owner of those trees is not mesiach dato from future growth. Elo omar Rav Popo. Rav Popo is a second approach to explain Rav Nachman's din. Ein lo geza lebal dekel, lefi she'ein moitzi geza. The palm doesn't have geza means that things don't grow out from its trunk. All its branches grow from on top. Therefore, as far as Rav Popa is concerned, Rav Popa seems to suggest that Rav Nachman is simply stating the nature of the dekel tree as opposed to other trees. Its nature is different in that it doesn't have growth that comes from its trunk, doesn't have outward growth, branch growth coming forth from the trunk, because all of its branches grow from on top. The Gemara turns back to Rav Zvid and says, and asks, Ula Rav Zvid, Kashio Masnisen. Rav Zvid held that the palm tree can potentially produce additional growth from its trunk, and said that which comes from the geza does not belong to the owner of the tree. But what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah said that that which grows from the trunk of the tree belongs to the owner of the tree. So how does Rav Zvid deal with the Mishnah? Stated in other terms, according to Rav Zvid, the owner of a dekel is Mesiach Taito. The Mishnah, though, said that all trees, ostensibly including the dekel, the owner is not Mesiach Taito. The more answers on the behalf of Rav Zvid, Dezovin L'chome Shonin. Rav Zvid would understand the Mishnah in the case where someone bought a tree for 5 years. In other words, he didn't buy the tree outright. He bought the tree for a limited amount of time. Cases like that, where one buys a tree for a limited amount of time, with a fixed amount of time, the rule says that a tree that you bought for a limited amount of time, if it should dry out within that time period, you can replant a tree in its stead, because you got 5 years of tree rights. As a result of that, he's not Mesiach Taito. He's concerned, he's thinking about all the tree potential that he has within those 5 years. The Rashbam inside says this. We'll look at that toward the bottom. The Zovin Le L'chom Eishonin Sha'afim Yomus. Even if the tree dies, Yita Achir B'mkomo V'Hilkoch, he can plant another one in its place, and therefore, Kevon de Mishabdole Aro Lizman Kotsuv, since the land is bound to the tree and to the buyer of this tree who bought it for a fixed amount of time, Lo Mosach Daite Min Hageza. He doesn't detach his mind from the trunk. Avolhecho de Zovin Stamo. However, if a person bought the tree in an unqualified, just an outright purchase of the tree, Shafilu im yomus l'sof yomu yomayim, if some quirk happened that the tree just dried out in a day or two, where it was a stam purchase, la'kul sharish koi awesome, vadai mosach daite. In such a case where it's an unqualified purchase, Rav Zvid would stick by his explanation and feel that the Mishnah does not counter that point. Continuing in the Gemara. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Kona Shlosha, when one buys three trees, Kona Karka. The note on the outside margin, the Nosei, the topic heading, Hakoina Shlosh Ilonois, Kona Karka. HaGemara Mevareres, Kamo Karka. How much land does he get? The Gemara's question, the Kamo, how much land does the purchaser of three trees get? Omer Abchia Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Hare Ze Kona, Tachtehen, Uveinehen, Vechutzolohen, Kemeloi, Oira, Vesalo. Notice we've used a singular quotation marks starting with the word Tachtehen so as to instruct us to read the entire phrase until the end of the singular quotation marks, as we did. Before going on, we can glance at the illustrations that are in the Pirush Chai. Illustration 639, Hey. The Rashbam explains each one of these expressions as well. The Tachtehen, the Rashbam says, Tachas Iker Hoilonos V'Hanoifois. Under the trunk of the tree and under and directly under the branches, Uveinehen. Karka Megula Shebein Noifois Ilon Ze Lenoifois Ilon Ze. Open ground that is between the branches of tree 1 and tree 2, tree 2 and tree number 3. Vechutza Lohen Svivois Ha'ilonos Mimokim Shekolin Noifoisein Velachutz. He acquires property that is around the outside of the trees as well, from the point that the branches end and outwards. In other words, a little more land than that which is under the branchwork. How much more? That's the expression kemlo oira v'saloi. The word oira is a verb dealing with the harvest of te'enim, of figs. In Hebrew, different species of vegetation have different words indicating their harvest. This point is alluded to in the Rashbam on the top of Omid Beis. We've noted that with the use of double underlines under each word, the word Ora, Botzer, Kotzer, Goder, etc. The amount of space for the Ora, that's the one who is doing the harvest of the figs, the Salo and his basket. So the amount of space for a person, the Ora, the person who's doing the harvesting, and his basket, he has that amount of space around the outside of these trees as well. Of course, this halacha is not limited to fig trees, but that's the example that's given over here. Before we go on in the Gemara, we'll take advantage of our topic heading on the outside margin. We're calling this tat nose, subcategory, subtopic, because the Gemara is going to get involved with the discussion that's coming off of what we just said. We've written on the side, Rabbi Lozer makshe al Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Lozer in our Gemara will be asking on Rabbi Yochanan, who was the one who taught this halacha. Rabbi Yochanan, we have circled Rabbi Yochanan on the bottom of Omid Aleph. Rabbi Lozer will be asking on him, Lama yikabel hakine gimuli lonos gam aloy ura vesalo. Why is it that one who bought three trees should get this area as well, the area known as maloy ura vesalo, bisman she'ein lo afilu haderech liloy noisav? With the same fellow who purchased three trees in someone else's field, he does not get a more essential need, namely, he doesn't get a path to his trees. Dehare mocher, bayin roa mocher, fi shitas hachachomim. We know that one who sells, in this case we have a fellow who sold trees, when he sold the trees, he sold with a limited mindset, no, that we've termed throughout Maseches Bavah Basra, ayin roa, call it a cheap mindset, where he gives as little as possible. So, true, he sold him trees. He didn't even sell him a path to the trees. If the person who bought the trees wants to get to his trees, he'd have to buy a path to get there as a separate transaction. Therefore, something so essential as a path to trees he doesn't get. Why should he be getting the area around the trees just to make his harvest a little easier? As far as if you'll say that, but harvesting is an essential aspect of the trees, he can do that by standing under the tree and maybe working a little harder, climbing to the top of the tree. However, by limiting him and not giving him the maloy ura vesalo, he could still harvest his fruit. The question then, once again, is why is it that Rabbi Yochanan says that a person gets the maloy ura vesalo as well, when he doesn't even get a path to his trees? Now we'll read this in the Gemara. Maskif law rebelozer. Hashto derech ein loy. We know he doesn't get a path to the trees. De aro achriti he. The three trees that he bought are considered a separate field, a separate entity. And as such, the owner of the field doesn't mishabed his land to the benefit of the fellow who bought the trees, and as a result of that, the one who bought the trees doesn't get a path to his trees. Oiro vesalo yeshlo. You would think could you think that he gets that, the area around the trees, to ease the harvesting? So at this point, Rabbi Lozer seems to take the opinion that mocher ba'ayin ro'o mocher. And as a result of that, if he's not getting a path to his trees, he certainly is not going to get maloy oira vesalo. Omer Rabbi Zera, midivrei Rabbeinu nilmad. From what Rabbi Lozer just said, we can infer, shloisha hu di'ein lo derech. If one buys three trees, then he does not get a path. Ha shnayim? However, if one bought two trees, and when one buys two trees, it's not considered a separate field, a separate entity. It's considered two trees that are being hosted by the owner of the field. So we can infer that if one bought two trees, yeshlo, he does get a path to his trees. Why is that? The Omale, the fellow who bought the trees, can say, hey, my trees, ba'ara didoch kaimi, my trees are standing in your land. Let's take a look at the Rashbam, the lower part of the narrow section. There is a singular asterisk. The Omale lokeach, the fellow who bought the two trees, could say, ba'ara didoch kaimi, v'shibadeto li karka shelcho letzorech ilonos, and you bound your field to my trees. You, as a host of my trees, are expected to serve me. Ke'odom shemashil mokim l'chaveru b'veisel oniach hafotzav, no different than one who allows his friend to place some of his vessels in my house. Kein gamze derech mashilo, if you allow someone to place, to use your property for holding his items, it's also understood that he has a right to go into your property to retrieve his items. As the Gemara continues, we encounter another geometric form. We're going to see the use of triangles, and we also note that the triangles will not be positioned the same way all the time. Let us take a look at our structural note on the outside margin, along with a topic heading, Nose, Hemshech. We're continuing in the topic that we've been discussing. Mivne indicates structural note. The triangle pointing up, and in general the triangles here, Ma'akav, is a method of keeping track of the play-by-play. With the triangle pointing up, She'ela represents a question. The triangle pointing down, tshuva, a response. What will we be doing here? Birur shitas Rav Elazar. We're trying to analyze, to clarify the opinion of Rav Elazar. Imhu choleik al Shmuel Rabbe. Does he disagree with his teacher, Shmuel? The Pasak Rabbi Akiva, Shmuel took the opinion that the halachic ruling goes like Rabbi Akiva, the mocher ba'ayin yofe mocher, that one who sells, he sells with a spirit of magnanimity, with a spirit of openness and generosity, as opposed to the Shitas Rabbonan that held mocher ba'ayin raw mocher. In our discussion that preceded this, we noticed Rabbi Lozer appearing and seemed to work from the standpoint that mechiras are done by in raw, like shitas harabbanan, and that's what led Rabbi Elazar to raise his objection to Rabbi Yochanan's teaching that one gets maloi oira vasalo. Rabbi Elazar said one doesn't even get a path to the trees, let alone should he get oira vasalo. This idea that he does not get a path to the trees, that indicates mocher by in raw mocher. The Gemara asks as follows, and we also have a long question marking that's indicated by a shin in a circle, a she'ila, and it lasts four lines. Is indicated by the vertical dashed line, indicating the lines of Gemara opposite this marking are all part of the question. Omalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok l'Rava, Lema Rabbi Lozar, who said before his comment of he doesn't even get a path. We've indicated this by the use of arrows to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, one over here, and one pointing to the second line from the top, where Rebbe Elazar had said, Hashto derech ein lo. So can we suggest that Rebbe Elazar, lemo Rebbe Elazar les lei de Shmuel Rabbe, that he does not accept the teaching of his teacher, Shmuel, the Omar Shmuel. Shmuel ruled halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, the Omar, mocher, ba'ayin yofe mocher. Rabbi Akiva teaches that when one sells, he He sells with a spirit of ayin yofa, with magnanimity, with openness, with generosity. What did Rebbe Lozer indicate before? And if you notice the what had been written in between the first and second line of the Gemara above, we indicated there that the Rebbe Lozer's teaching was kirabonon de pligi a Rabbi Akiva. Shmuel seems to paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Rova answers, because Rav Nachman Rabbi Yitzchak had raised this question, suggesting that Rebbe Lozer doesn't hold like Shmuel. Rova says that as far as Psak is concerned, Rebbe Lozer could very well hold like Shmuel. What Rebbe Lozer was responding to before, he was responding to a comment made by Rabbi Yochanan, which was in effect a comment made to explain the Mishnah. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, Rebbe Lozer holds the Mishnah cannot be set up like Rabbi Akiva. Since the Mishnah cannot be set up like Rabbi Akiva, it would be very hard to accept Rabbi Yochanan's explanation of our Mishnah entitling the buyer to get Maloi Oire Vesalo. But as far as Psak is concerned, as far as halachic ruling is concerned, if you ask Rebbe Lozer, I would rule like my teacher, Shmuel, who paskins in general to go like Rabbi Akiva. Omar Lei, reading this in the Gemara, notice the triangle pointing down indicates a response. Rava says, Lo mesukma masnisin kerebi Akiva. The problem that Rebbe Lozer was confronting before was simply that our Mishnah cannot be set up like Rebbe Akiva. In other words, as much as I'd like to paskin like Rebbe Akiva, I have to explain this Mishnah that cannot be set up like Rebbe Akiva in the spirit of the Rabbonan. Mimai, how do you know that our Mishnah cannot be set up like Rebbe Akiva? Midiktani. From the fact that our Mishnah teaches Igdilu Yishafei. We saw that when one bought three trees, if the branch system grew, expanded, the owner of the field has a right to trim those branches. The E Sakadaitach Rabbi Akiva, he, if you were to think that our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Akiva, Amai Yishafei. Why should the owner of the field who sold the trees to the tree purchaser, why should the owner of the field be able to trim it? Ho Omar Mocher, Vayan Yofa Mocher. Rabbi Akiva held that when one sells, he sells with a spirit of generosity. Therefore, the one who, according to Rabbi Akiva, the one who sold the trees, he sold the trees with the expected anticipation of the tree branch network expanding, and with the idea that he's not going to interfere with it. The seller wouldn't interfere with that anymore. The Gemara responds, our Mishnah that said Higdilu Yishafei could, in fact, be set up like Rabbi Akiva as well. It is true that Rabbi Akiva holds Mocher Ba'ayin Yofa Mocher, but not under all circumstances of sales. There are limitations, even within Rabbi Akiva's mindset, to when we say Mocher Ba'ayin Yofa Mocher. And we'll discuss that momentarily. But as far as structure of the Gemara is concerned, if you're telling me that our Mishnah could be understood in terms of Rabbi Akiva as well, then the deflection that Rava mentioned a few lines up, that the Mishnah could not be set up like Rabbi Akiva, will fall away. If that happens, you just go back one stage before in the Gemara, and we'd be, in effect, resurrecting the question that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak rose, namely, that Rebbe Lozer, who said a comment that fit into the Rabbonon, would make it such that Rebbe Lozer happens to hold like the Rabbonon. Not merely that Rebbe Lozer can't explain the Mishnah Lefi Rebbe Akiva, but even further, Rebbe Lozer simply paskins like the Rabbonon. If he paskins like the Rabbonon, then he in effect is not going like Shmuel Rabbe. Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, Omar Lei, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says back to Rava, Amor the Yomer Rabbi Kiva, Gabi Bor Vedus, Telo Makhishi Ara. Rabbi Kiva said his halacha that Mocher Ba'ayin Yofem Mocher concerning items that are static, like a pit and a dus, another form of a pit, that don't encroach, don't injure the land around it. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva could very well hold that if I sold a pit to someone, I sold him the pit with the path leading up to the pit. The pit and the path leading up to the pit do not have any adverse effect on the area surrounding them. Hence, the seller has no reason to withhold. Hence, when selling the pit, he also adds the path to the pit. However, Gabi Ilon, when it comes to the sale of a tree, Mi Shamis Lei, does Rabbi Kiva hold that there is no qualification there either? A tree has potential injurious effects on the land. So I sold you the tree. I didn't sell you the tree with the expectation that the tree will now hurt me as well. It's different than the case of the sale of a pit, where the pit is not going to hurt me, namely I that am holding on to the area around the pit. And the Gemara continues, Mi lo modi Rabbi Kiva be'ilon hanoita letoich stei chavero. Would Rabbi Kiva not acknowledge the situation featured in illustration 640 in the Pirush Chai, where there is a branch, a tree with branches that are extending over the neighbor's field. Shekoitzeitz meloi mardea me'al gabi machresha. Rabbi Kiva would agree that when the neighbor's tree branches start to overshadow my property, the owner of the property has a right to cut the trees all the way above his head to the extent of the mardea, which is a type of stick with a nail that's used to prod the oxen to plow. So the owner of the field has a need to plow his field. How can he plow his field effectively with his oxen if tree branches are overhead and he can't raise his mardea in order to encourage the oxen to plow effectively? Hence, there's this rule that one can chop the tree, can prune the tree branches above him in his field. Let's take a look at the Rashbam as well. The Rashbam is found in the wide lines under the Gemara. Demi lo moide Rabbi Kiva b'hach stamo d'snan v'lo yachpor ilon hanoite l'soich stei chavero. In the Mishnah taught in the second parak regarding a tree whose branches are overshadowing the neighbor's field, v'hon ami lahu damyo, our case of the purchase of three trees is parallel to that case. Sharei ha'ilonis halalu, when one bought three trees, eino netuin b'karkoi shel mocher. We're saying, we're viewing the three trees as if they're not planted in the field of the seller. Why? The guy who bought three trees gets a parcel of land around the trees as well. The Seifa of the Mishnah that taught that Higdilu Yishofei, that when the branches expand, you can prune, the owner of the field can prune those branches, fits in with Rabbi Kiva's scheme as well. Umihu, Shi'ura de Oira Vesalo, is lay the Rabbi Kiva. However, Rabbi Yochanan's teaching that one who bought three trees gets the Malo Oira Vesalo around the trees as well, that can fit into Rabbi Kiva as well. The Rabbi Kiva, derech yeshlo. According to Rabbi Kiva, one bought the three trees, he does get a path to those trees, dumya de borvedus. The lo domi lehezik gadol shel ilon hanoite. This is to be distinguished from the damage caused from branch expansion. Branch expansion is considered a major form of damage, of injury to the field owner. Major damage, field owners don't accept. Minor encroachments, if you will, that they do accept. Ula oilam les lay de Shmuel Rabbe. Rabbi Elozer, on the other hand, who said, I don't want him to get even Maloy Uruvasalo, that's because Rabbi Elozer does not accept Shmuel's teaching Upaskin like Rabbi Akiva. This Rashbam was very significant to set up the entire Shaklev V'Tayev of the Gemara in its proper perspective, setting up Rabbi Elozer as Rav Nachman thought when he began the question, that Rabbi Elozer doesn't hold like Shmuel, that Rabbi Elozer, who objected to Melo Ir V'Salo, is reflecting Shitas Rabbanon, because Melo Ir V'Salo is less significant than a path. And if one doesn't get a path, he certainly should not get Melo Ir V'Salo. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva would say a person gets a path and he gets Maloy Eira V'Salo as well. And as far as our Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah can be explained in terms of Rabbi Akiva. And if you'll ask, what about the Seifa where Higdilu Yishofei? That too is an opinion that conforms to Rabbi Akiva, because even Rabbi Akiva doesn't accept major forms of damage done to the seller. The Gemara continues. Tanya Kavose de Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. We have a Tanaic source supporting Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Now, for many of us, learning from a standard Gemara, you would see Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and you would wonder, well, what in the world did he say? We're bringing a Tanaic source to support him. With the benefit of our marvelous marking system that I'm hoping all of you are enjoying and seeing the maximum benefit that you can receive from it, here we take advantage of the arrow indicating Omid Aleph that's jotted in next to this arrow, underneath the arrow. Tells you to look at Omid Aleph and find a parallel arrow. On Omid Aleph, however, the arrow that you find should indicate Omid Beis, linking these two points together. On Omid Aleph, you notice the arrow toward the bottom of the page pointing to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So, with that in mind, we now see a Tanaic source supporting Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba's teaching as follows. Hare ze kono tachteinu beinehen v'chutz alahen, that when one buys three trees, one gets the area under the tree, between the trees, and outside the trees, kemloi ira v'salo. We've dashed underlined meloi ira v'salo being the unique feature that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was adding. Omale Abaye the Rav Yosef. Oison Oyo Vesaloi mi zor on. The area that we've referred to as around the outside of the trees for the harvester and his basket to be positioned. Who plants that particular ground space? Does the owner of the trees have a right to plant that? Or the owner of the field? Omar Le, Tanisuha. Rav Yosef answers, let us resort to a Tanaic source that should seem to answer the question. This Tanaic source is surrounded by a frame, but it's very brief. It's a brief quote of a Mishnah in which we see someone that has an inner garden set off the road from one who owns an outer garden. The one who has the inner garden gets a path to his inner garden, cutting through the outer garden. And it says, "Hachitzoin zoreya es haderech." The owner of the outer garden, the outer area, plants, has a right to plant that path. The parallel would be that the owner of the field, the Baal HaSodeh, would be able to plant the equivalent of the derech, in this case, the Ur of Esalo. Abaye, though, is not satisfied. And he raises a long question. We've indicated the long question by writing in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, Abaye's name, with a dashed vertical line, calling it Abaye, namely Abaye's question. Omale, mi domi. How can you compare the cases of Maloy Ur of Esalo, the planting thereof, and the case of planting the path that's cutting through the outer garden into the inner, toward the inner one? Mi domi. Hasam les le pseido lalokeach. The fellow who bought the inner garden by the outer fellow planting that path, that does not cause any loss to the inner fellow. The inner fellow, when he has to get to his garden, will just walk over it. Avol hocha is le pseido lalokeach. But in the case of the trees purchased in someone else's field, if the owner of the field plants the area of Malo Ur of Esalo, there is a loss to the owner of the trees. Hocha is le pseido lalokeach. The omar le, the owner of the trees can say, when my fruit falls and lands on the area under the tree or around the tree, in the area of the lower of Esalo that you planted it using fertilizer and all kinds of other substances and other effects and what have you, it causes a loss to my fruits. That's expressed by the Gemara, Di Omar Lei Ka Metanfi Peri. My fruit gets dirty when it falls onto that area you just planted. Ha lo damya elo l'seifa. If you want to parallel the case of the tree and the Malo Ur of Esalo, you compare it to the seifa, where it says, v'zeh v'zeh einon rashoyin l'zora. Let us take a look at the Rashbam. Ha lo damya, in the wide section under the Gemara, about halfway down, ha de Ur of Esalo lo damya lo l'seifa de'ahi. The case of the Ur of Esalo is similar to the seifa of the source that we quoted a little earlier. Dikotoni noslu lo beizdin derech min hatzad midas shnehem. If beizdin gave a path to the inner garden, a path that went around the outer garden, ze bezeh ein rashoyin lezora. The inner guy nor the outer guy can plant that path. Since in that case the two parties agreed to that roundabout path, even though the loss there might be of a minimal nature, namely, if you have a pathway that is planted with vegetation, the ability to walk over the path is thwarted a bit. The koshikain gabi Ur of Esalo davi kemidash nehem. The case of Ur of Esalo also is like something that was agreed upon by both parties. The mistama hakoni lonos yeshlo shi Ur of Esalo davi pseido tuva tinuf peros. The parallel then being between the case of the roundabout path of the sefer being something they both agreed on, and the Malo Ur of Esalo being something that they both agreed upon. And just like in the case of the roundabout path, we saw neither one can plant it. Therefore, the ruling of Abaye would seem to be that no one should be able to plant the Malo Ur of Esalo. Tanya Kavose de Abaye. Hareze kono tachtein uveinen v'chutzalahen kimloi oira v'salo v'zeh v'zeh einon rashoyin l'zora. And we've dashed underlined the expression that is of main importance to our discussion, that neither one is able to plant it.
The Gemara asks, V'kamo yehei beinehen? How much space must be between the two trees, the three trees, in order for us to say that the person who bought the trees is one who acquires the land along with it? The answer provided by Rav Yosef will follow shortly in the Gemara. But before we go on, we would like to take note of some of the markings. We have Rav Yosef with a 1 above him, and he's underlined. If you just skip to the next line, you see Rava with a number 2, also underlined. Rav Yosef and Rava, being of a parallel generation, parallel nature, they are marked similarly. Following that, we have Rav Yehuda circled, and you'll notice Rav Nachman circled. Rav Yosef quotes Rav Yehuda, Rava quotes Rav Nachman. Then we notice a diamond. Both diamonds have Shmuel. In effect, what we're going to be seeing in the Gemara are two opinions as to what Shmuel says. We take a look at our topic and structural note on the outside margin. The diamonds are Beis Deos B'Shmuel, two opinions within Shmuel. B'ma Hashiur Shetzoruch Liyos Bein Ha'ilonos, what is the distance between the trees that's necessary to be between the trees, shenema sheyakabel gam hakarka shebeinayim, that we should thereby be able to say that the one who purchased the three trees will get the karka along with his purchase. Shi'ur shelo yehei tzafuf midai velo mufuzer midai. We're going to be looking for a dimension or a distance that should not be considered too dense nor considered to spread out. Now we can go to the Gemara itself to read the answer to the question of Kamo Yeh B'nehem, Omar Rav Yosef, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Me'ar Ba'amois V'ad Shmoina. Anywhere between 4 and 8 Amos. Up till 8, but not including 8. Rav Rava, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Shmuel, Rava's opinion in Shmuel, Rav Omar Rav Nachman, says Mishmoina viad sheish esrei, from 8 amas up till and not including 16. From 8 till 16 amas. But when he says 16, we're saying not including 16. That means that under 8, the trees, if they were planted within 8 amas of each other, we'd say that it's too densely planted to be considered a field, and hence there would be no land granted to them. And if it's more, that if it's 16 amas or more, it would be considered too spread apart, and thereby being viewed as individual trees, and not granting the tree purchaser the land between them. Omale Abaye Rav Yosef. Abaye, as we noticed in our markings with regard to Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef was the first opinion. Abaye points to Rav Yosef and says, Lo tiflog alei de Rav Nachman, don't you disagree with Rav Nachman's presentation of Shmuel? In other words, Rav Yosef presented Shmuel through Rav Yehuda. But don't disagree with the opposing opinion, namely Rav Nachman's opinion of Shmuel. Why not? Desnan masnisin kavosei. Because we have a Tanaic source that supports Rav Nachman's reading. The Rashbam adds that Abaye turned to Rav Yosef and said, don't disagree. How could he say that to him in such a way? The reason for that is, the Rashbam mentions, but very briefly, is that Rav Yosef experienced a point in time that he was sick and forgot his traditions. He forgot his learning. This is a sugya in Maseches Nidorim that describes that much greater. Nevertheless, Rav Abaye felt that maybe that which Rav Yosef was saying was based on forgotten tradition, and hence saying better to go with Rav Nachman's approach. And not only that, but there's a Mishnah that supports Rav Nachman's approach. Before we read the source that supports Rav Nachman, which is featured in the frame, you might want to glance at diagram 642 to appreciate things a little bit more. The general approach to things has to be, like we said a bit earlier, the issue concerning denseness as opposed to that which is spread out. When is there a sense of togetherness, of connection between trees? We're going to talk about a vineyard. Vineyard is something sensitive to Hilchus Kilayim. Hilchus Kilayim means that when you have grapevines growing in a vineyard setup, row after row, as opposed to individual vines, when you have a vineyard row after row, if there is a certain distance, depending on the distance between rows, that will affect the halacha of whether or not you can bring a foreign species of vegetation to plant in that area between the rows or not. If the rows are close enough to one another, then they form a vineyard. If they're too close to one another, then it's considered like a forest and they're there to really be uprooted and don't have a din of a vineyard. If they're sufficiently spread apart from one another, then again they don't have a din of a vineyard and you'd be able to bring in a foreign variety of vegetation and plant it there. The issue then again has to do with proximity. And is there connection between things or not? In the case of the trees, the three trees, we're interested in there being some form of connection between them so as to be able to consider them a field of trees. However, if they're too close to one another, then they're considered too densely planted to be considered a sedeh ilon, a field of trees. And as a result of that, he would not get the land. If they're too spread apart, once again, there's no connection between them, and again, he would not get the land. We saw dimensions. Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel said, if the trees are distanced from 8 to 16 amas, they're considered connected with each other, and these dimensions are illustrated in the following source. Disnan, Hanoitea es Karmoi, Shesh Esrei Amo al Shesh Esrei Amo. That means if one plants his vineyard with a distance of 16 amas between each row, 16 full amas between each row, Mutter Lahavi Zera Lisham. It's mutter to bring a different variety of plant and plant it there and not be said to be encroaching or violating the rules of Kilayim. What do we see from here? That 16 amas, a full 16 amas, creates a sense of disconnection. These rows are not connected with one another. Hence, they don't have a din of a vineyard. Omar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is here to support the Tanakhama, and he says, Maise betzalmoin, be'echot shenotas karmo sheshesrei al sheshesrei amo. He planted his vineyard with spaces of 16 amas between each row. Voyahoifech seor shtei shuros letzad echot v'zorea es hanir. He positioned the branches, he bent the branches of the rows in such a way that the branches would be bent in opposite directions, thereby creating a sense of openness between the two rows, and planted that area. That area is called the plowed area, it's called the near, because it's plowed up in the anticipation of planting a different variety in that space. Lashona acheres hayahofech es haseir lemokam hazera vizara es habur, and the following year he switched the position of those branches. Where the previous year the area was planted, he then switched he bent the branches inwards over the planted area and planted the boor, the uncultivated area, this year. And that approach was accepted by the scholars in that area. Up to this point, then, we saw Abaye confronting Rav Yosef's psak with a source that indicated the 16 amo figure, namely, that if something is a full 16 amos, they're considered unconnected with one another. If it's up till 16 amos, namely from 8 till 16, that's considered a shiur, considered a dimension whereby the trees are said to be related to one another, and hence one would get the space between those trees in the case of buying three trees. The continuation of the Gemara has Rav Yosef responding to the point that Abaye made, but this we will, Amir Tzashem, learn next time. Up till this point, then, will be our shiur for today.